Hey, everybody. That is Gary Smith.
Hello.
That is Kaz Kenny.
Kapow!
And I am Eddie Bramble, and this is episode 25 of the Blackwater's Edge podcast. Wow, Kaz, man. Why don't you start us off with this week's fishing report?
All right, folks, look, ain't much changed here. Still pretty much the same. We've got fish on the spawn. We've got fish on the bed. We've got fish garden fry. We've got fish eating like piranhas. So we got a little bit of everything going on down here in the Blackwater National Wildlife Refuge. In the connecting rivers around us, it's a few channel catch, you know, some carp, some really, really nice bass outside of Blackwater, if you can find those areas. We're still catching a handful of perch. The trout are still biting down in the straits and, you know, below Taylor's Island, so we got plenty of them around. Don't be afraid to throw a twister tail somewhere along the bank and make sure that you're putting in the work. You know, you got to put the work in to find these fish, and everybody wants to ask where we caught them. I'll give you a general idea where I caught them at. You have to work for them. You want a snakehead spot? I got you covered. So anyway, look, before we begin, I want to talk about this. You know, we got a lot of guys coming down here starting to shoot fish, you know, all these rivers here on the Eastern Shore. And, you know who we have on the show today. And I just want to give Nick a little plug. You know, I had a chance to look at his vessel over the weekend personally, you know, by myself and just have a look at that thing. And let me tell you what, them guys really got something going on out there, you know, with what they're doing with the working class outdoorsmen. And they take ladies, too. That was something that surprised me this past weekend. You know, I had a couple females on the boat with them. So I thought that was really, really cool. So ladies out there, if you're looking to get on the boat and you want to shoot some snakeheads, give these folks a call. They'll set you right up. Eddie, that's about pretty much what I got for the fishing report this week. It's pretty much still the same thing. The water's getting hot, so you're going to have some dead times here. You know, we're experiencing a lot of that as we've had water temperatures as high as 92 degrees.
It's been warm.
You know, yeah, it was hot today.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't understand. You know, when our temperatures get up that high, we start to lose some oxygen in the water, so the fish will move out of those branches. They'll be searching for deeper water. There's a little hint for you, looking in deeper water on a hot day. Anyway, so, you know, the snakes are there. You just got to put time in. You got to find them. And there's guys that are catching 50 a day, so... We know we're still doing good. The fish haven't gone anywhere, and we need your help. So come on down here and give us a little hand, huh?
It's been plenty of pictures of people catching plenty of fish.
Yeah, nice fish.
Like you said, you just got to know where to look. That's all.
And I'll give Gary a little plug right here. We know Gary, he spent a little time in the water today and put Miss Mary on a giant.
Yes.
You know, caught the first one that had a little shower, and I told her, I said, I like this rain. And as soon as it just, you know, like 10 minutes, and as soon as it was getting ready to stop, bang. Got the first one, and the second one was, there was a little shower just before that.
So remember that, you know.
They like that noise when it's raining.
When the water's hot like this and we get a little bit of a rain or something like that.
Cools it off.
You want to get right back out there as fast as you can, because they're going to feed real quick while that water's cool. As soon as it gets hot again, they're going to stop right away. I can tell you that. As soon as that tide comes in and pulls that water back out and it goes back to 90 degrees, game over. So
it was warm out there today.
It's very warm. It has been all week.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been burnt up fishing. We were fishing with Chesapeake Bay Magazine
earlier. Yeah, we were fishing the bank, but it was hot on the boat today.
Oh, my goodness.
It was nice to get out of the wind, but then when you get out of the wind, it was...
We got to spend some time with some really cool people this week.
Oh, yeah. You
know, we had Travis and his son Nick out here. We had LJ from GI Jigs. We had Chesapeake Bay Magazine spend the day with us doing some filming. You know, and I want everybody to know, we're very blessed to be in the position that we are, to be doing the things that we're doing. And though you see us on here cutting up and acting crazy and having a good time, you know, that's what it's all about for us, you know. But on a more serious note, you know, we're grateful for all the help that we're getting, you know. So
we have a lot of fun with what we do, but
we
take it seriously at the same time.
We do.
So I think with that, we'll get into this week's guest.
Let's do it.
So this week we have Sean Russell. Sean, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good.
So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm from the west side, which I guess a lot of people do know, but a lot of people don't. I spend almost all my time down here on the shore.
You're down here a lot.
Either snakehead fishing, sickadeer hunting, duck hunting, whatever it is, I'm down here. Definitely my home away from home and hoping to make it home for good
eventually.
Soon. Yeah. But I caught my first snakehead probably only about 5 years ago. I didn't really get into them when they were first getting around and everything. I was younger and didn't really know much and didn't really have anybody that was catching them or anything, so I had to do it all on my own. And most of my fishing for snakes is done with frogs. I love the top water. I mean, I just can't get enough of the blow up.
Well, you're Gary's best friend.
Buddy.
I just can't get enough of the blow up, and that's what does it for me. And a lot of the bigger fish, I'm not normally looking to catch tons and tons of numbers. I'm going out there for the big ones.
That's how I always was. You know, I like to go out and I like to throw big stuff. I like to think outside the box. I mean, I like to walk on the bridge with that big 14-inch muskie plug, and some guy look at me and say, dude, what are you fishing for?
That's what I told Mary today. I said, you're going to catch one today. It's going to be a big one, sure enough, 10 pounds. Man.
And that's the thing we tell people, you know, big bait, big fish. I don't care where you're from, you know. And I would rather have four big bites of a 10 to 15-pound fish than 50 3 to 4 pounders all day long. You know, that's just me. I certainly want to clean the numbers up, but so let's talk a little bit about how you got into fishing and hunting. Let's talk about growing up a little bit. Like where did it start for you, and what fueled the fire to bring you to this point?
Definitely my father. First time I ever remember going
Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Yeah, for real. Seriously. First time I ever went out hunting was with my father. Definitely. I mean, I remember looking at the foxes, the owls, the hawks, everything out in the woods. I mean, it's just all so amazing and so peaceful being out there away from everything else and just able to clear your mind of everything. Fishing, I can remember fishing since I can remember to talk. I mean, bluegills and stuff and everything like that, but mostly my dad was into bass fishing. So, and on the west side and up in Frederick County, I mean, we were mostly just fishing ponds and fishing for bass and fished the river for smallmouth as well, which that I still can't get enough of. The river and smallmouth and river fish just fight so hard. Living in that current all day long, every day.
Me living up in Harford County, I got the experience growing up, you know, to fish Susquehanna, and we have a real good smallmouth fishery there, you know, so that's good to hear. It's good to hear these guys always start with bluegill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really good to hear these guys started with something other than snakeheads, you know, when they tell these stories like this. So back to it, Sean, keep going.
Right, so I mean, the first time I actually heard of a snakehead was my grandma lived down in Silver Spring, and I forget what the name of the park was, but there's a park down there near Wheaton Regional Area, and there was a snakehead that had been found in the pond, and they ended up draining the whole pond, killed all the fish out of the pond, all because of this one snakehead. And I was like, what's the big deal about this fish? And why do they have to drain the pond and take everything else out of it because of this one fish? And it kind of just made me want to learn a lot more and figure out what was going on. And not only that, but they say how they're these crazy fish that can live out of water and walk on land and do all these crazy things.
Eat your dogs.
Right. Yeah. Eat your dogs, eat your kids, whatever. I mean, like, they had a movie that came about them around, like, 2000 and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, damn, these things are crazy. Like, I want to catch a couple of them.
I think the biggest thing about that pond over there when they found it is that we really kind of reacted right away, which was good. But we were still at a point that we really weren't sure what the impact was, you know? Right. So I think that the best thing that came out of that was we learned a lot from that, and that being that we didn't have enough data, and we needed to go look deeper than this one pond. You know, we started seeing them in the Potomac. We started seeing them here. You know, we had to look further than a pond. So that pond in its own way was kind of a blessing for us to get the ball rolling in the state.
And I think a big thing that people don't realize, we still don't have enough data. I mean, we're far from any conclusions for anything. Mm. This is just what we talk about here in Blackwater is what we're seeing right now, the immediate impacts we've seen since snakeheads have been introduced into this area.
And I think the coolest thing is, you know, we've been reaching out to the public here recently asking for data. I literally this week have had hundreds of fish sent to me to send to the Maryland Department of Natural Resources for data collection. And that's really what we need in the state right now because we don't have the availability of extra biologists. We don't have the availability of extra money, especially after this whole COVID thing that went down. So we're really asking for the public support or public's help, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And let us know what they're doing, you know? We want you to report back to us. If you send me a message on Messenger or however you want to get it to me, just send me the data and I'll make sure that we get it up to Maryland, we get it up to Annapolis.
Also, I mean, you can check out, I think Joe Love put the website up in his video.
Yes.
Just you can submit it right there to Joe and he'll take care of all of it for you.
And even with the iAngler app that they're using, you have a place there now that you can gut check or however you want to call it, your fish. You know what I'm saying? So that's another way to collect data. So you started out there with that pond, you know, that kind of intrigued you.
Right.
So that lit the fire. What was your next move?
So then, I mean, I wanted to catch one, but I fished for probably 2 or 3 years and didn't catch one at all. I mean, I went all over the place, all over the Potomac, different areas around D.C., all around and wasn't catching anything. And finally, I was like, you know what? I heard about bow fishing and I was like, don't have to have them bite if you can shoot them. So I ended up getting myself a little boat. This was when I was about 15 and got myself a little John boat and didn't have a driver's license. We normally had to have either my mom because my dad, he had to work a lot. So my mom was the one who always used to take us out on the boat. But she used to take us out on the boat and drive us places we wanted to go. And once we got a little light set up going on the boat, went out there to the spots where I heard there were snakeheads at and we started shooting them.
Once
I started shooting them and seeing like where they like to be at nighttime, I just started going back to those places during the day, and that was it.
Stalking.
Yeah.
So you were able to bring the puzzle together simply by spending a few nights out on the boat, seeing how they move, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I never had anybody ever teach me how to catch a snakehead. Never took me out. I mean, I caught the first one on my own, shot them on my own, did all of it on my own. Never had anybody teach me, never really asked for help.
So how did you get over to Blackwater fishing for snakeheads here?
How'd you do that?
I don't remember how it first started, but I was like, you know, I started hearing about all the bigger numbers down this way and everything like that, and I was like, let's go try it out. So we came down here for one weekend, me and my one good buddy Jarrett, and we went out to Blackwater 335 and just put in. We started fishing around and started catching some fish. And realized that, yeah, I mean, the numbers were a lot higher here, and that we would go down and we'd fish the lower Potomac, and mainly down there, for a lot of guys that don't know this, it's mainly tide-oriented. If you're not catching fish, it's because you're fishing the wrong tide. I mean, we only fish a falling tide down there, but here you can catch them anything. I mean, you can catch them falling tide, rising tide, doesn't matter.
Clarify that. You can do that once you put time in for a period of time and you figure that out.
Sure, yeah, you got to figure out how to catch them, but, I mean, they will... You have a better chance of catching them all throughout the day here compared to
down a lot of people, and that's why I want to say that. You know, we have guys that are coming down right now, and they're like, "Hey, I thought there were so many snakeheads, and I came down and didn't catch any." Look, you got to remember, it's all about just what you just said, Sean. It's
effort.
All about
time and effort.
It's all about the right place, the right time, and it's all about when they eat, they all eat. You know,
I mean, that definitely goes to show, because even looking back at the records in 2012, 2013 is when they were shooting the big numbers of fish down on the lower Potomac, and that's when I started out fishing, and I couldn't catch one. So there were lots of fish out there. I just didn't really know what I was doing at first. And once I got out and figured out the areas they really like to be at and what they're doing in those areas, definitely changed the game. But it all started because of bow fishing. I mean, if I hadn't gone out at night and found them and seen, okay, there really are snakeheads here, then I don't think I would have been fishing the right areas.
That's amazing. I love that story a lot. That's just got a lot of oomph to it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you're over here on the Eastern Shore, and you're fishing over here. What are some lures that you like to throw during the day when you're out there? I mean, let's talk about what is your favorite scenario set up for the day? Like, what are you looking for in the air? What are you looking for, you know, in your fishing? You know, what are you looking for tackle selection? What are you looking for tide? Tell the folks what you're looking at here in Blackwater when you see that.
I mean, I personally like the hot. I like hot, sunny days, dead wind. I like to be way back in the creeks in the stale water. I mean, they'll be up there where the other fish aren't. And, I mean, I like it hot, and I like frogs. That's pretty much all I throw. I mean, I will throw a swim bait here and there, but mainly it's all frogs, either a fast-moving frog or a hollow-body frog. And it's either a ribbit frog or a jump frog normally. But I like to get a reaction out of the fast frog and then throw back in there with the hollow body. Mm. Normally, I'm not catching them with the fast-moving frog. It's just to see swirl, one move on it, just any kind of motion to show me that there's a fish there.
And see, I've never really shared that part. But, you know, I think a lot of people have respect for what you just shared with them, because you just taught a lot of guys how to increase their catch, seriously. And that's okay. You know what I mean? We want them to catch the fish. I mean, that's what it's about. It's about us helping other people.
I'm going out to say now, this evening.
So... I like to ask tough questions. We know that, right? So I'm going to ask you probably the toughest question you're going to get on this whole episode. Where's your favorite spot at?
Whoa. Yeah, my client can't know. Nope, none of that. Can't have none of that. Sorry. Next question, please.
Okay. All right, let's. Where the hell did he come from? Seriously?
That's his agent.
Jeez a wheeze, man.
I didn't realize you brought your lawyer with you.
Yeah, he comes everywhere.
Anyway, thanks, man.
He was your driver before you got your license.
So we know you're not going to give up your best spot, right. And we understand that, you know, but if they were coming here and you had to pick one place to tell the guy calling you from California who's coming here from 7 days away, he's going to drive across the country, he's going to make this trip, because we got a lot of folks doing this kind of stuff right now. We got people coming from Michigan. We got people coming from Europe. We've got people coming from Asia. We've got people coming from Vietnam. Look, folks, we got it going on. That's all.
Where are you taking Jeremy Wade that day?
That's talking about that.
No, that's what I'm saying.
So where are you taking Jeremy Wade that day? Let's talk about that.
Well, prior to the place I caught my first one down here, which would be 335, there's just a lot of water to cover. And with that being said, there's a lot of fish there.
And I want to go back to your first trip there at 335. You were successful in your first visit here, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
But
that was after being successful other places first.
Right. And I want to reiterate that for a reason, because we have a lot of folks that come here. And, you know, I talk to them like, has I been in there 3 weeks, man? I'm doing everything you're telling me to do, man. I see them swimming by me. I see them with these babies. Jeez Louise, is there something that you can give me, like the top secret tip to catch them? And I'm like, time.
Yeah, you ain't got to worry about that because I've been struggling the last week or so for myself.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the setup above 335, what you're seeing when you go there. We've got canals, we've got cuts, we've got stump fields, we've got flooded areas.
Yep.
What do you look for? I mean, are you a structure guy? I'm out in the middle of the water looking around for something out here?
Exactly. Structure, like you said. I mean, sometimes it might just be a shallow cove, shallow mud cove where the sun heats it up more and they're all on sitting there on the hump where it goes down deeper. Or some cuts back in the frag, or even like you said, the stump fields. They love the stumps too sometimes, and it's just day to day is different. But definitely anywhere back in the cuts, the structure, anything that I stay out of the main channel. That is
fallen trees.
Yep, absolutely.
There's always, you look at however big the dirt ball is on a fallen tree, there's a hole in the water that big, and they will lay there on a hot day, man.
Gary, what are you doing, man? You guys are like giving up all these secrets already. Hey, it's man. Too early.
There's
in the
a lot
show,
of fallen trees.
Good God.
Water's rising, the trees are falling. There's plenty of them out there.
Tip number 8,548. Ask Gary Smith. So we know you like the snakeheads. What else do you like to catch while you're visiting here? We know there's a couple other things to fish. I mean, are you strictly, I'm coming over to catch snakeheads? Are you chasing other things while you're here? I mean, I know that I've shared some other opportunities with you other than snakeheads. So
at first, it was just for the snakeheads. But definitely been going after a lot more of the saltwater side lately. Never really done much saltwater fishing myself, and I'd really want to get into it. And been chasing these so-called red drum, but... I think they might be called the red unicorn inside of my book as of now. I don't know if there's really any around, but I think we'll get one day. But
We've taught you everything you know, but we haven't taught you everything we know. It's coming. Gary's going to take you for a little ride, I understand, and maybe take you guys in to go maybe find some red drum. We'll see.
That'd be pretty awesome, but
it's going to cost a lot.
Oh, it's all right.
Okay, $600 a head. And we blindfold you on the way. And you got to turn your phone off. Yeah. We hold your phone until we leave.
Leave your phone at the dock. Right. So, not just fishing, but you enjoy hunting too.
Oh, yeah.
So, when did you get your first sick of deer?
Two seasons ago. My first one ever was three seasons ago. That was before I got any guidance. Me and my one buddy, Jarrett, had heard about the whole sick of deer thing going on, and we came down and
the marsh just, ghost.
We just walked out into some piece of public and ended up getting a hind that morning. It was kind of just bare luck. I mean, we just walked into somewhere we didn't do any kind of looking before that. But
there's the man with the experience.
Yeah, well, I do agree. It is a lot of luck.
It is a lot to it.
I'll tell you what, your skills have gotten really good. I mean, we've been watching you the last 2 years with your sick of hunts and what you're doing. I mean, you're definitely doing a little bit better than you first started out 3 years ago.
Right. When it comes to deer season anymore, I think last deer season, I hunted maybe 2 weekends for whitetail, and that was during, like, the peak of their rut.
Yeah.
Every other weekend was spent down here chasing sick of deer. I mean, it's just nothing compares to it. The smallest little hind can walk out, and I'm shaking more than any whitetail buck that I've ever shot or seen.
Isn't that crazy?
That's when you know you're still doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always tell people, if I get up and I ain't got the enthusiasm when I climb out that bed, I'm done doing whatever's got me down. You know exactly what I mean? Right.
Yeah, it's also the scenery. I mean, it's so beautiful down in the marsh.
Now, as far as other kind of hunting, you do any other kind of hunting, ducks or anything else here?
Ducks. Not really geese, but ducks for sure. Wayne helps me out big time on ducks.
Your lawyer, Wayne?
Yeah, my lawyer.
What is your favorite thing about duck hunting?
Just going out and hanging out and being able to talk with your buddies and just not having to sit there. I mean, I love deer hunting and being quiet and enjoying the environment, but I like to hang out and talk with my friends and have a good time too.
Yeah,
and duck hunting, you can do that.
That's the main difference between deer hunting and duck hunting, really.
You got to be quiet.
Yeah, I mean, one's a social hunting adventure and the other is a solo. And Kaz, you're not much for the solo.
You ain't got to be quiet. I can't be quiet, so I ain't good at deer hunting.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Didn't you say earlier that you were fishing before you were talking? Kaz was talking first.
Yeah, Gary's going to kick me like 19 times since we started this podcast today.
Just this week?
Yeah. You ought to see all the stab wounds from last week when I got home down in my legs, man. You can't see that. No. So we know that, let's talk about the bow thing. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what you guys got going on.
Yeah,
let's talk about what services you're offering. Let's give Nick a little advertisement here and let's help him out. So tell us about the rig.
Working Class Outdoorsman, Captain Nick Mather. We slaughter the fish night after night after night. I mean, we're seeing anywhere from 50, 60, 70 snakeheads a night on average. And, I mean, depending on how good your shot is, you can kill a lot of them. I mean, there's shallow water, clear water, lots of them. And not just snakeheads. We shoot carp, too, and goldfish, which is really cool to get after, and also catfish. And a lot of people say, like, what do you do with the carp and everything? And we like to use them for catfish bait. We have a lot of guys who do catfish charters, and we give them the carp use for catfish. And there's other people. Some people do eat them. I mean, I've heard they're good.
Oh, yeah, gefilte fish. You know what I mean? That's a big thing in the Jewish, you know, with them people. I mean, they love it. I mean, my cousins, I got some family, and every time they celebrate whatever the holiday is, they ask me, can you get me a 4 or 5, 5 to 6 pound carp? They don't want them real big, you know.
It's because they live so long out of water, because the fish has to be blessed, and he's got to be alive.
Oh,
okay. I didn't realize that.
That's why they're such a good fish for a gefilte fish, because they live a long time out of water.
I always wonder why I
probably
brought them in coolers.
Now.
Yeah. I always wonder why I brought them in coolers, you know.
How about that?
Yeah.
But a lot of people, they always like rag on bowfish and say it's so easy and it's not a sport and everything like that. But not only not have that here, but for anybody who would like to think that, I'd challenge you to go out there and try it, because it is fishing. You're not going to kill everyone you see. You're not going to kill everyone you shoot at. And if you are, I mean, I've never seen that happen with anybody, so I wouldn't believe it until I seen it.
So you guys have taken quite a few people out.
Yeah, this year's been really busy.
Let's talk a little bit about the boat, you know, how many people you can handle. I mean, the space, it's very big and very spacious. Mm-hmm. I got a chance to see it over the weekend.
28 feet long, has, I think, 42 lights corner to corner. Normally he likes to do trips of 4 to 6, but I think he can take up to 7. But 4 to 6 is what we like to do. And your trip of 4 people runs you about 700. 6-person trips, about 900.
That's fair.
So nothing crazy.
You're out there all night. It's fair.
All night long, all gears included, fish cleaning included as well if you need it. I mean, you're going to have a blast. We are going to put you on the fish.
Do you have equipment?
Oh, yeah. All gears included. Cool. Arrows included, bows included, everything.
Yeah, that's more than a fair price.
We also have spears. We have another toy that... we'll get into.
I like the spears.
Gary, you were talking about spears before the podcast.
Yeah, I just got lost the head off my. I had a gig that's 7-prong, and the last one.
Don't tell them the whole new design.
Well, the new one's 7-prong, but I bought it from a different company. The new one's about as big around as a 2-liter, or as a 1-liter bottle. The old one was probably almost as big around as a 2-liter bottle. So the new one, you get more tons into the fish when you stab them if you hit them. Closer pattern.
Yeah, makes sense.
And earlier you were saying about taking women out and everything. I mean, it's more than just that. You can take kids out too. I mean, if you want to make it a family event and take your whole family, we can do that too. I mean, you can crank the bows down to a low poundage to accommodate children or women who can't draw it as much weight as other people. And sometimes you're shooting such shallow water, you don't want a high poundage.
Right.
Because otherwise you're going to be getting stuck in the mud every single shot.
So when that happens, what do we do? If I'm out there and I shoot one and it's not set right and I go into the mud, does that mean I got to jump in the water and pull the air out the mud and get it or what?
That's normally my job.
That's what I want to know.
No, if Kaz is going with you, that's his job.
You got an agent, man.
I'm making
agent,
sure, you know. So, you know, you guys leave in the dark. You stay out pretty much till when?
Yeah, we normally go out right at sunset, right before it gets dark, and normally stay out till around 2 in the morning. But, I mean, sometimes we go a little longer, sometimes a little less. I mean, it depends. Some nights you shoot all your fish in an hour, and you're already worn out. You might have shot a couple hundred shots already, and you might be done.
I'd be happy with that. An hour, and my arms are ready to go.
Just out of curiosity, what's the average success rate if you shoot 10 times?
For me or for beginner?
Both.
Yeah, let's talk about the beginner, what they can expect. Let's talk about what the seasoned bow shooter might expect.
Well, even then, if you're a bow shooter but you shoot deer and you shoot animals out of the water, you might not be ready for what's underwater.
Because of refraction,
right,
correct?
Right, you got to aim underneath the fish. So sometimes people who've never shot a bow before are actually the best ones, because they will listen to directions and actually shoot underneath the fish. But it just depends on how quick you get the hang of it. I mean, some new shooters will hit 50% of their fish.
It seems like you have a lot of repeat people that are coming back already from the little bit of time that I've seen you guys out there.
You have a blast when you're out there.
I know you guys must be hammering. I do want to just mention this before it comes off of my brain, because y'all know how I forget. Got a million things going through this mind. I got to grab one. The boat. Describe. When I see it on the trailer, what am I looking for coming down the highway?
A snakehead. I mean, it's the mother snake. It is painted like a snakehead, a pattern. That's cool. And 28 feet long, like I said, it's big. It's a big boat.
I have to tell you my story Saturday because I probably look like the biggest geek in the world, right? I was heading out the road to go take crabs, me and Happy Pat, and I swing by Goose Creek, and I went in the store to get some ice or something to throw over the crabs or something. I came back out, and I see this boat coming in the parking lot that has a snake pattern on the side, and I see this pretty truck, and I'm looking, I'm like, oh, my God. It's an enlarged snakehead boat. Man, I made a U-turn, come right back in the parking lot, stopped that thing, took him out Blackwater's Edge car, said, hey, man, I want you on the podcast. He was in the store, so that's why I didn't know. I'd never seen the rig before. I'd never seen the truck before. You know what I mean?
Oh, Sean was in the store.
Right. No, Sean wasn't in the store. Nick was in the store. Yeah. And there was a couple girls in the truck waiting to go fishing. So like, oh, I'm just going to give him my car real quick. Tell him, hey, you know, him send me a call. We'll get you on a podcast. And then Nick comes out, and I see him like, oh, God, man. So... You know, we'd like to have Nick here, too, sometime. So I know you're real busy, Nick, and we really want you on here. So when you get that chance, let us know.
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah, I mean, the boat is a beast. And I think that's sometimes why we kill so many snakeheads, because it looks like a snakehead. So
28
I think they come to
us.
I think you're right.
That's
a good Blackwater boat there.
Yeah.
I mean, when you guys came by me, I came right to it. So right. I'm sure the snakeheads go right to it, too.
Yeah, they see it as the mother snake and just, cool. just come on for a ride. Snake.
They didn't have lights on, and Kaz went right to it. Right.
They had lights on, I might have taken it with me.
No, like a bug, man.
That's right. So let's talk about some of the brands of the bows that you guys use. I mean, what kind of stuff are you guys using out there?
He's shooting RPMs, lever bows. If most of you aren't familiar with it, it's kind of a mix between a recurve and a compound. It has lever system instead of wheel system and pulley system or anything like that. But they're good for snap shooting because a lot of you're shooting at night. It's just quick shooting. You're moving the whole time. You might not always be moving fast, but sometimes the fish are swimming fast, and you might just have to swing and take a snapshot real quick, and that's what those kind of bows are good for.
So it's almost even more reflex shooting than aiming and shooting.
It's more instinctual than anything. Yeah.
And the way you're describing it, it's more challenging.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean? So again, let's go back to the guy who says bow shooting is for sissies.
Right. Okay. I mean, a lot of the guys see the videos of the snakehead just sitting there and not moving, and some of them do, but...
But
not
again, I want to go back to that. Everybody says it's easy, you know. Yeah, now we're dealing with the quick snap, you know. Right. You're moving constantly, mm-hmm. So this isn't something that these guys just going out there and just wrecking a million fish a night because it's so easy to do, you know.
Right. I mean, our best number night this year was 53 snakeheads, and that was with a whole group of guys who shoots multiple times a week. So we're doing pretty good. But I think even for first time guides, he's had a couple really good nights where they're shooting 15 plus snakeheads a night. And that's first-time clients, not including carp, I think that too. But
so you're shooting Tim Wells style rather than Levi Morgan.
Yeah, right. So when you're aiming, how far beneath the snakehead do you have to aim for that to account for the refraction on the water?
Definitely depends on water depth, right. But normally for a snakehead, we're shooting them pretty shallow, only about an inch yeah. under, maybe right on their belly line, okay. Or like an inch underneath of them, maybe two. But that's only for like a foot to 2 foot of water. There's sometimes we'll be shooting carp and catfish in 6 foot of water, and you're having to aim a couple feet underneath.
Changes the whole game.
Oh, wow. I never thought about that.
Yeah, and especially when, I mean, you might start out the night shooting snakeheads and then go shoot carp and catfish in deep water, and that changes the whole game.
So you also need to know how deep the water is, too, to know.
Right, yep. Yeah, you definitely got to have a kind of a feeling on how deep the water is so you know how to... How far to aim it?
Like how fast that duck flying?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yep. You guys have a depth finder on, or kind of let you know how deep you're shooting?
Right. Normally, yeah. I mean, normally the water's pretty clean when we're shooting, so you can kind of judge it and everything. Right. And it's like I said, instinct. I mean, once you shoot a couple of shots, you realize, oh, I'm hitting high or I'm hitting low, and you make a little bit of adjustment.
It's like casting a bait caster. Once you get past the bird's nest, you're good to go. You know what I mean? So. Don't laugh over there. I pulled in the parking lot. I seen Wayne out there. Picking out a bird's nest, talking about Lou's reel. I said, man, I really love that reel. And he goes, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, I love that reel. It's funny. So Sean, where are we shooting these snakeheads? I know we're talking about the Potomac, but to the client, is there any opportunities other than the Potomac? Or
yeah, Nick runs most of his trips on the Upper Bay area.
Okay.
Susquehanna and all around the Susquehanna River. So most of his shooting is up there. He does move around a little bit. I mean, if you want to go shoot stingrays, we'll do that as well. And if you want to shoot somewhere else, like if you want to shoot gar, there aren't any gar on the Upper Bay, so we'd have to take you down to the lower or something for that. But yeah, most of Nick's shooting is up on the Upper Bay. It's not on the Potomac, nor is it on the shore. So So
well, probably I would think for a beginner, stingrays would be a little easier to hit.
Definitely. Definitely a lot easier to hit. And
not what your manager says.
My manager was hitting them. He says he was throwing arrows at him and hitting them the other day. So I don't know.
I believe it.
So I believe it too, but they're pretty, they are definitely
easier. It's a bigger target. It's round.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the new adventures for you guys and what's unfolding with you with your new piece of equipment. And I mean, I don't know how much I can talk about it. So let's talk about the blowgun. I'm just going to leave it there. We can talk about what you want. You know, we can talk about, you know, that you guys are working on some designs. You know, you guys are marketing some stuff up. You know, that you guys are looking for a market. Right. So this would be a good way for you guys to just do some introductory stuff about that blowgun. Tell us about what you guys been doing at night with this blowgun, man.
Yeah, the blowgun, it's more of a fun thing to do than... You don't go out and shoot the crazy numbers and everything like you do with the bows. But it's a fun thing to do, and you go out and... I've kind of modified the darts that come with it and modified them to hold fish a little bit better. And we go out and we shoot some snakeheads off the roads with just headlamps and stuff. And I mean, all over the place. So you can't tell any spots for that, but you just got to go find some water near the side of the road and go see if you can find any snakeheads.
So the blowgun, in my opinion, just watching what's going on and hearing the percentages, I want to say that that just sounds like so much more challenging and so much more fun. Like, dude, like, I started thinking about throwing stars after I saw the blowgun. I was like, man, I wonder if we get throwing stars on a string, man. Chuck them things that spin through the air on a free bearing or something. Stick the snakehead and we pull them back out. You know
ninja,
what I mean?
Ninja snakehead, huh?
Right. So, I mean, this is cool. That's what I mean. You know, all these guys are coming up with new ways, jugs.
Fun
you know?
Ways.
I mean, they're using jugs out in Blackwater that are laundry detergent jugs, tying a rope to it that's a solid piece of nylon and tying a big shank hook on it and hanging a carp off of it. You know, that's... That's some pretty neat stuff. I mean, so what is your percentage, you would say, at night when you're shooting a blowgun? 10%?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, probably pretty low like that, yeah.
What is the biggest snakehead that you've been able to corral out of the bank with that blowgun?
My biggest is a 5-pounder with a blowgun.
Oh, but that was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It took a little while, too. I mean, it definitely ran about 50, 60 yards of line out at one time.
It's just got to be so much
fun.
So, wait,
do you have the line attached to the...
To the blowgun, yeah. We actually have half of a rod attached.
There you go.
Yeah, so.
Well, I try that. I've got a blowgun. I used to be pretty good with it. I got to give that a try.
The hardest part for us was finding a dart that would hold the fish on their well. It's not hitting them. Hitting them is the easy part. It's getting them to stay on the dart.
So I guess the biggest thing is getting that dart through the fish all the way.
Good penetration and then good barbs on the dart. And all of our darts as of now are being handmade and everything, so.
When you can't drag them in, you got to play them, I'm sure.
The 5-pounder probably took 5-10 minutes.
I mean, you guys have been working on this for a little bit now, so I think the customizing that you guys are coming up with and the availability that you're going to make available to those people, that's definitely going to generate a lot of sales for you guys, you know? Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be something that's real challenging to the avid snakehead hunter, and they may want to try that, you know?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So, Gary... how long have you had a blowgun for?
Oh, 30 years, man.
I'm just waiting because if I'm sitting down eating lunch one day and I start getting pricked, I know what's going on.
Oh, you'll know when it hits you, trust me. They're like a little needle, man. It's quick, don't worry.
I don't even want to say this, but I just had a thought of Gary in the tree with a blowgun over top of a sickle on a corn pile, man.
It's illegal, man. Can't do it.
I know you can't do it, but I'm just saying. You know? How challenging would that be, you know? So.
I've seen Tim Wells and his brother shoot bullfrogs with him.
I believe it. So, how busy are you guys? I mean, do we have openings available? How far out are they?
There's openings available. I mean, Nick will go out just about every night of the week. He tries to give himself one or two nights that he doesn't go out, but he'll accommodate you if you want to go. Let's just put it that way.
So, the biggest group you can take is normally six, right?
Six people.
Are you guys doing any of the bow hunt tournaments, anything? Are they doing anything virtually online for that? Or what's going on the bow fishing scene as far as tournaments go? How are they handling that?
We haven't been doing any tournaments this year. Okay. No, haven't really done any tournaments this year at all.
Kind of in the same boat we're in.
Right. And so. Haven't really heard of any that are going to be going on that much either.
Now, I know that you talked about a tournament you're fishing this weekend. Is that what you're telling me about?
Yeah, it's the month-long anglers tournament that I'm in.
Okay. So where are you sitting right now in your standings with that? Do we even want to know?
I don't think you really want to know.
You better get it done, son. That's all I got to say. So.
Well, that's crazy because last year, I mean, this time last year, I can't remember if it was the second or third tournament of last year.
It was when second that was and third.
That was that's yeah. okay.
Well, the second was my first one that I came down for.
Right.
It was pretty crazy. I actually didn't plan on fishing any of those tournaments, and I just happened to have a free weekend and heard there was a tournament going on and came down to fish it and blew it out of the water. Yeah, yeah. But that was the same time last year as now, and I can't. Struggling right now.
I tell you what, you are a threat on the tournament scene. You're a threat in this refuge. And what folks really need to do is they really need to understand that guys like you, guys like Wayne, guys like Dixon, guys that are from here that are harvesting fish and the numbers that we're doing, you know, we're part of the team. We're part of the people that are making a difference. You know what I'm saying? Right. So we're grateful for all that you've done here, absolutely. You know, as far as, you know, with helping us and helping us helping you. I mean, it's all teamwork. You know what I mean? It's one big family.
I think Wayne's just lucky that you were only came in the middle of the year and weren't here for all four tournaments. He might not be having that belt.
So the iAngler tournaments, you know, they're coming up. I want to talk a little bit about that. You know, if you haven't had a chance to sign up for CCA, you know, get a chance to go over there and register up with them. They've got some
absolutely
some great opportunities for you this year. You know, some stuff, some great sponsors. And Dave Strosky, you know, just reach out to him and he'll be able to help you with anything that you need as far as that goes. You know what I'm saying? So just wanted to plug that real quick while it's on my mind, too. Sean, what is your goal for this year? What's Sean's goal on the snakehead front for this year?
Are we talking anything for this year?
No, not anything. I'll take $5 million. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so, sick of deer is on my mind for this year. But,
What snakehead wise, what is your goal this year? What do you want to do?
And sicker.
Snakehead wise, to catch one 15 pounds or bigger on the rod. My biggest that I've ever shot with my bow is 17.4. So I've shot a pretty big one. I've shot multiple ones over 15 with the bow, but never have I landed one rod and reel over 15. So.
You know, I think that's like the biggest thing that these snakehead guys are really trying to figure out, myself included. You know, we know these fish are there. We see them in the nets. We see them every day. We just don't see them coming in. You see one here, you see one there, you know, and I know every now and then somebody might not want to post their catch, you know, but think about this for a minute. How many fish do you really see hook and line wise? 14, 15, 16 pounds. You know what I'm saying? So I think that we've cracked the bow fishing scene. Mm-hmm. As soon as we can figure out what we're doing wrong with that, oh, man, dude, it's on like Donkey Kong.
Sean, you ever gut check your bowfish? Mm-hmm. What have you found?
Everything. Just about.
tell us some of the things you found this year in their stomachs.
We're not asking for any secrets.
Yeah, just some spots or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean,
Have you seen ducks? Have you seen muskrat? Have you seen ducks. Snakes? Have you seen birds?
I have not seen a muskrat yet. That is one thing I'm surprised I haven't seen. But ducks, turtles, all kinds of fish species. I mean, all kinds of stuff, yeah.
Now, being that you're in the Potomac, I want to ask this question. Do you guys, I know it's a great bass fishery, those fish that you do shoot over there, are you seeing bass in the stomachs of those fish as everybody else is claiming? Or, I mean...
I've seen more stripers in their bellies than I have largemouth. I've only seen one largemouth in a snakehead stomach, and over the years I've been killing them, but I've seen multiple stripers.
And see, that's something we've been speculating on for a long time.
We're working on that right now with the state. So, well, you know what? Forget it, Eddie. Let's just go ahead and talk about it. Yeah. Go ahead. While we got the opportunity, go ahead.
No, all I was saying is we've been talking about this for
the grass
almost 2 years
now. Right.
But we've never had any hard data on this yet. Right. So
we are collecting currently data on the Susquehanna and some of the nursery rivers, and what we're seeing in these areas is an immense amount of stripers in the gut checks, and a fairly good amount of fry in the gut checks. And when I say stripers, I don't mean 15 pounders. I'm just talking about the fish that are using these grass beds for a nursery until the fall when they migrate up these rivers, where they reside for 3 years before they begin the migration. You just hear that? 3 years they stay in these rivers before they begin the migration. They don't have a fighting chance. And that's just me talking. That's nobody else talking. But we're getting data that also suggests it's not the anglers that are hurting these fishery. It's not pollution that's hurting the fishery. We're seeing some other things, and it's really, really scary. So I can't get into all that with us yet, but we do have a lot more data that's coming forth here in the recent near future. So I'm going to hammer that as much as I can.
Yep.
You know, I hate to be there, and I hate to be that guy, and I might lose a couple friends over it, but I care about our fishery. And not just our fishery. I care about your fishery too. I really do. So no matter where you are in the state, if you're having problems with trash, traffic, things like that, let's figure out how to handle it because we're not going to stop it. You're not going to stop it up the bay. You're not going to stop it in the Bush River. You're not going to stop it at all these marinas, these guys that want to go fishing. The worst thing that we're doing right now as a community is not working together.
Exactly. That's the whole thing about this entire scenario with the rockfish is it's almost become the waterman versus the recreational angler. And that's not
even what it is.
No, we don't think it's that at all. Okay. So we don't want that to become politics like the rest of the world has. We want everybody to be working together to create a sustainable environment.
And that's why we're asking the public to do this gut checking, because as the public does this gut checking and they're putting this data forward to us, it's educating the public firsthand, and they can see what exactly is in the stomachs of those fish.
Oh, a lot of snakeheads, too.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And when the people say to me, I caught my snakehead and there was nothing in it, well, the reason you caught the snakehead is because it had nothing in it. It was hungry.
Right.
You know, and Gary can tell you about the digestion. So, you know.
24 hours. If he eats some today, catch him this time tomorrow, there's going to be nothing in his gut unless he's eating in the meantime. Well, the woman we were over to Key Wilds, the guy called one, it's 2 feet long, and we went back and asked him, could we gut check him? And it looked like a little balloon. It's his whole gut. It was just nothing but air. And it wasn't anything in there. I mean, I took it and wiped it. And it was just like an empty sausage or two.
I mean, what you got to understand is a lot of times when I'm in areas and I'm on the bite, and I mean, when I've fired them up with minnows and I've got them chewing hard and I can't get them to stop like piranhas, you know what I'm saying. So this whole gut check thing, you know, the state's going to have some stuff. The good news is that the public gets to see what's in the stomach of the fish they're catching, and you can be able to make the determination of whether you think we need to do something or whether you think we just need to let them go and let them grow. Okay? So I hate to say it like that, but we're not in that standpoint here anymore. We
always advocate for angler's choice, but we're also trying to advocate for what's responsible for the entire environment.
Yes, yes. And That's exactly it. The whole angler's choice thing, you all know that I'm with that too.
Yes.
My whole thing is that
I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we all have that feeling. I fish with people every day that throw their fish back, and we're still good buddies, you know. The bottom line is if you see something, say something. You know, if you don't think you have a problem, then you know better than I do. I don't fish your fishery.
We would never advocate for the waste of fish.
Right.
We don't want you to just kill them for the sake of killing them. Kill them to eat them.
Yes, I have friends that tell me, you know, I'm not just killing a fish to kill it. And I get it, man, and I'm with you. You know what I mean? So I get it.
And a nature thing, too. I mean, it's like today, Mary Harshman went out with me today, and I know at least 7-8 times she told me how pretty it was back there. Mm-hmm. And gave me a hug and thanked me just for taking her. Said she, you know, it was nice that she caught fish, but she didn't really care about the fish just to be able to see that back there. And it's a special place, man.
I mean, that's the thing. The sun comes up here in the morning. Oh. I mean, what did we see yesterday when we were filming Chesapeake Bay Magazine out there? Talk about the eagle. Talk about the eagle and the osprey we saw there.
So I can't remember who called it first.
The osprey had the fish had swimming off with it.
So the osprey had it first, and the eagle, this bald eagle, came out of nowhere. I was like, no, that's going to be my fish. And they fought over this fish for a good 15 minutes. And it was just amazing to see these two going back.
The eagle kind of bombed him and made him drop it, and then the osprey took off after the eagle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the roles
were
reversed.
That's my baby's food. And took off. It was on that eagle too, buddy.
I was watching the eagle the other day on the wildlife drive, and it was swooping down trying to jump the ducks up. I don't know if you've ever got a chance to see that.
I see them do it all the time.
But, you know, they'll come out and they'll go over that pond, and they'll dive bomb that pond, and they'll just swoop right in there, and they'll hang their talons out like that, not that they're even getting anything, just to scare one up. A lot of times you'll see them working together as the pair. You know, the female may come down, and as soon as she pushes them up, then boom, the male comes in and crashes that bird right in the middle of the air, and boom, it's just an explosion.
They feast on those RSAs when those guys turn those ducks loose. That's a bad day. Bad day to be a duck.
All right, so
one last thing, though.
Go ahead.
Back to my first time ever downhill fishing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I did forget to give one person a little bit of credit for everything. Definitely helped me win my first two tournaments. I mean, without them, I would never have found that spot to fish. But Mr. Z-Man, I don't know how to pronounce his name, though, but Zelko Cortec or something like that, you know? now.
Zyko.
Yeah, Zyko. Yeah, he helped me out big time and took me out here the first time, though. But yeah, he doesn't seem to like me much anymore because I keep and kill a lot of snakeheads.
I got you. I got you.
Yeah, but...
Well, again, it's angler's choice, you know what I mean?
Right.
You
keep right.
what you want, like,
yeah,
what
I mean,
you want.
He definitely showed me out a lot, and he taught me a lot on fishing and everything like that, but, yeah, I mean, for whatever reason, he just doesn't like to kill snakeheads.
And that's okay. I mean, that's okay. It's angler's choice. Now we're allowed to do that, and it's, you should be very grateful that you got the opportunity to be shown from him, you know what I mean? Right. So, hey, thanks, Z, for helping him out. We appreciate that.
Anybody who has a chance to learn from somebody else, it's an amazing opportunity.
And that's gratitude, have to take advantage of it. Yeah. Gratitude, you know, pass it on. You know, that's what it's about. You know, I help as many people as I can. I'll continue to help as many people as I can, as much as I can. So,
right.
I don't know, Eddie. What are you thinking, brother? What we got going on? What do you want
to
do?
It's time to roll it.
You think it's time to roll it? You guys want to give away some stuff or what?
It's time to.
All right. Hey, folks, it's Kaz here at the Crab Stand, home of the guaranteed number one Maryland crab. It's time. It's now. The Sunday Funday Giveaway. I know it's Thursday. I know you've been waiting all week for this, but look, it's better late than never, right? I'll take crabs late any day. All right, so look, I'm going to start right now with MEPS, okay? We got a big shout-out to MEPS, you know. They're really, really happy with what we're doing out here, so we want you all to go over to the MEPS Facebook page and send them a like, share their page, whatever. Look, we're going to give away three inlines today to three different people here on the podcast. Tracy Ours or Ors.
Kapow!
I'm not sure how we say that. Tyler Mullenix.
Kapow!
Charles Weaver.
Kapow!
All three of you are going to get a MEPS Aglia, okay? We got it in the original. I got it in...
Tandem,
the Baltimore Oriole. I've got it in chartreuse, single hook. So you guys can have one of those three baits when you come here to the Wolford Tour. Make sure that you get one. Let's see what else we got. I've got, for the crab stand, look, I'm going to give away five people one dozen crabs, man. That is just crazy, right? That is nuts. They don't call me that crazy crab guy for nothing. All right, so look, I'm going to give Chad Moore. I'm going to give Cynthia Oler. I'm going to give Tammy Sutton. I'm going to give Richard Spearall, S-P-E-R-A-W. I'm going to give Sheila M-S-E-S-E-L-E. All you get one dozen mixed size, live, 100% guaranteed Maryland crabs out there at the crab stand. Look, my good friend, Aris Matos at wickedstickers.com. If you need stickers, you need cups, you need anything for your business, pens, vinyl, anything like that, reach out to Aris. He'll get you straight. Check out his Etsy page and what he's got going on. He's got a lot of products available. Eric Rummer, R-U-M-E-R.
Kapow!
You're going to get a free Crab Stand t-shirt this weekend at the Crab Stand. Look, my good friends over there at Stonebridge Grill. Mitch is over there cooking up all kinds of stuff, making soft crabs. We're going to have Snakehead on the menu there very soon for him up there in Parkton. And look, folks. Indoor dining starting soon. And here at the Wolford Store also.
That's right.
So look, get over to the Stonebridge Grill. Get some of Chef Mitch's fine eats over there. And I'm loading him up with a bunch of soft crabs this week. So Nancy L. Goodman.
Kapow!
You get that $20 gift card from Stonebridge Grill. And you know, Eddie, I've been thinking about it. You know?
Wait. One more. Let me guess. One more.
One more. You know? Sorry, but we have no AC right now, and I'm burning up.
And that's your number one fan right there.
Here is my number one fan. Right there. All right. You know, I've been thinking about this long and hard today. And actually, before I do that, I forgot one more thing. So we had our seasoning contest, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So here you go, Mr. Chris Meister. You will get a bag of this Venom Dust. So that's what we're going to call our seasoning, the Venom Dust. So you won that, buddy.
Kapow!
And before we finish, the one last thing. I know that I'm grateful for everything that we've got going on out here at Blackwater's Edge. And I think that everybody who's watching the podcast and everybody's paying attention, I think they're very happy also, you know? So we have I want to call it an attitude of gratitude here, especially this week after this successful week and everything we've done. So Angela Sheeler.
Kapow!
Hit it again, Eddie.
Kapow!
One more time, Eddie.
Kapow!
I'm going to give you a half bushel of mixed 100% guaranteed Maryland crabs, baby. Kapow! 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 Have a great day.